God is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of righteousness and bringing wisdom to the hearts of his saints. Friends, welcome to Scots Church this morning, and please be seated. Well, what a lovely start to our morning together. We're going to join together in song now, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Again, welcome to Scots Church here in the heart of the city of Melbourne, especially if you're visiting with us this morning. And a special welcome too if you're joining us online via YouTube live streaming. Welcome to you too. This morning, Arthur Kiefer launches his teaching series called The Art of Living, which takes us on a 4-week tour of the book of Proverbs. So something to look forward to. Now, if you are new to Scots, please use our introduction card to say hi. Fill it in. You can leave it at the desk at the front of the church, or you can use the QR code to leave us your details. And please do join us afterwards for refreshments on the mezzanine level in the Westpac building immediately behind me. Our Tuesday night small groups are working through Discipleship Explored, a video-based course with discussion groups. Everyone's welcome. That's upstairs in the Assembly Hall building to my right from 6:30 Tuesday evenings. And if you're nervous about the thought of coming along for the first time, just drop an email to our Pastor Justin and he'll give you all the information you need. Speaking of Justin, this morning he's leading the service at our branch church, St. Stephen's in Flemington. And a reminder that this afternoon, Reverend Cam Garrett will be inducted as Clerk of the State Assembly here at Scots at 2:30 p.m. I'm sure he'd be encouraged if a few came along and joined in. A warm welcome too to Reverend O, moderator of the Hapdong Presbyterian Church in Korea, here with his wife this morning on holidays. He's going to say hello in a few moments, so we'll hear from him shortly. Finally, parents of newborns, kids of all ages, teens, are invited to a brief social after the service this morning. It'll be lunch. Please stay and join in and hear a little from Arthur about the direction of ministries that will involve your kids in the future of Scots Church. Now, Reverend O has asked if he could bring a brief greeting from the Hapdong Church in Korea, a church of, I think, 2.4 million members, of which he's the moderator. So come on down. Some very warm relations we have with the church in Korea because we sent one of the very earliest missionaries from here, Joseph Davies, in 1878. He was commissioned in this building. Come and say hello. I think we have a photo of you over there that's much younger, but that happens. Yeah.
First of all, you understand that my style is casual style.
Holidays.
Yeah. You understand? And instead of my Lord Jesus Christ, say Shalom. 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 Yeah. And your church, almost 140 years ago, wonderful missionary Joseph Davies, your church sent to the Joseon, that old name, now 대한민국, Korea. We always thank you. You are Presbyterian Church in Australia is mother church of Korea Church. And I wanna small things, but so important book. This is our constitution, Presbyterian constitution. And the identification of Presbyterian Church in Korea, this book. Yeah. And one more thing is good for health, the best thing of the world, Korea ginseng.
Oh, I hope I hope chocolate. But yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. One more time, we thanks all the time Australian Presbyterian Church. 감사합니다. God bless you forever.
Now, you will have an opportunity to welcome Reverend O and his wife at refreshments this morning. So please take that opportunity. We're going to join in the next hymn, Love Bring the Day to Pass. Please be seated as we join together in prayer. God of all wisdom, designer of everything good, by your will all things were created and have their being. By your breath we have life, and through your good intention all things are sustained moment by moment. And yet, Father, we confess our foolishness that so often we fail to hold you in proper reverence and awe. We forget that fearing you is the beginning of wisdom, and so often we follow the ways of our own hearts. So often we let selfish ambition and pride shape our life directions. Indeed, we make self our creed. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the wisdom of your word guides us in ways of righteousness and justice, that your word teaches us prudence and discretion. But more than that, as we turn to the Lord Jesus and seek our wisdom in him, we thank you that by your Spirit you move in our hearts to desire righteousness, to long for justice, to hunger and thirst for equity. So, Father, please stir our hearts anew as we meet together today. that you would change us through your word, your spirit, and the encouragement of your people. We ask these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray in these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, choir. Kids' Church resumes today. Boys and girls, you can meet your leaders up at the back and head off during the first verse of our hymn. It's also the offertory hymn for those who'd like to contribute to the ongoing work of Scots Church. Let's stand and join in our hymn together.
Let us pray. Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, and everything that is good in it, we give you thanks, we praise you, we call on you. We ask you at this time to be with us, to bless us as we start this Sunday service. We pray that as we worship you today, your Spirit would work within us. You would give us wisdom and understanding that comes from your word in the Holy Bible. Father, we pray today on this wonderful morning for your church in the city and Christians all over the world. We pray and we thank you for the privilege for coming here and worshiping you in freedom. We ask, Father, that you would bless the elders of the Scots Church, the ministry team, the pastoral team, and those administrative staff who make and work behind the scenes to glorify your name in every way. Father, I pray that you would use us as a church to spread the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to those around us. We would be an example of what it is to be a holy nation that you want us to be, and to be a blessing to those in our homes, our workplaces, and communities. In the same way, Father, we pray for the mission outreach programs of Scots Church and the ministries. We pray for Colin and Alison Morrow, Lauren Reiter, Adam and Helen Ramsey, and the Church of Central Africa Presbyteria. We also pray a lot for the volunteers and the ministry of the Scots Joint Mission at Flemington, who serve the underprivileged, who go through hard times, Father. We ask you that you bless the work that they would do over there. Father, at this time, we also pray for those who are caught in conflict zones and wars, the people of Palestine and Israel, the people of Ukraine and Russia, and the unrest in Bangladesh and other places around the world. Father, we pray for the innocent people caught in these situations, the children, women, and men, and we pray for your protection, peace to be restored in these regions. Similarly, Father, we also pray for the elderly and the sick in our communities, those who are housebound in hospitals or under treatment. We pray that your grace and peace, love and comfort would be with them. Along with them, we pray for their families, the volunteers, and the professionals who minister to their needs. We also pray, O Lord, for your comfort and your love to be with those who need your love, grace, and strength today among our congregation. We bring to you those only known to ourselves in our hearts. We remember them by name, and we ask that you would continue to bless them and protect them. Lastly, Father, we thank you for this wonderful country, the blessings that you have bestowed on its people. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the Prime Minister, Mr. Anthony Albanese, and his cabinet. We pray that you would grant them wisdom to do things which are right in your sight and beneficial for the people. We also ask you that we would not take these freedoms that we have over here for granted, that we would understand that we have a duty towards you and those around us, and we would act responsibly with your love, wisdom, and understanding. Father, these are our prayers. We bring them to you today. You know the thoughts of our hearts, what we want. But in all these things, Father, we pray that not our will be done, but yours. This we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we begin our series in the book of Proverbs this morning, our first Bible reading is drawn from a section of Proverbs chapter 1 and then verses 1 to 12 in chapter 2. You can follow along in the order of service as I read. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. Amen. Our second reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 12, where we meet one whose wisdom exceeds that of Solomon, someone greater than him. Let's read from Matthew chapter 12. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Amen.
A very good morning. Let me say a word of prayer. Lord, let us hear what we need to hear. Let us see what is honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Teachers, what's the number one thing a teacher wants? Some teachers want a new job. Other teachers just want a day off. But when you can't get those, I think a teacher wants teachable students, a student ready to learn. That's why each year, in the first week of class, every teacher is sizing up the group. What kind of students do I have this year? The class clown. That one's easy. The class clown always talks on the first day. No one else talks before the class clown. You got the lazy student who often sits by the distracted student. There is probably potential there, but these two are going to test your patience. You've got the hard worker. Not always the brightest. Sometimes they are. But they'll surely get there in the end. They're keen to improve. On rare occasions, there's a student in the class who's just not willing to learn. The recalcitrant student. Plenty of people show up to class unprepared or half committed, and that's actually okay, because the only thing a teacher really wants from students ultimately is a teachable one, a simple openness to learning, whatever the subject. The book of Proverbs names its students too: the wise person, the fool, the simpleton. These are different spectrums of teachability. And the book wants you to identify with only one type, the wise person. That's your model. That's your aim. As you heard and can see in the opening passage there, let the wise hear and increase in learning. Because like a good teacher, Proverbs has a clear goal: to make you wise. Proverbs wants you to become a wise person. The problem is that we're not always the teachable student. You don't want to be wise. I don't want to be wise all the time. Now, that sounds ridiculous, because wisdom is like money or peace or success. Everybody wants it. But it doesn't always bear out in life. Even if we want wisdom, we're not ready to commit to the school of wisdom. And why is that? Well, the same reasons were put off by any educational program. There are three reasons, actually, that keep us from learning something. And I think these three reasons apply to anything. Learning Latin, baking bread, taekwondo, ballet, shoe shining, sewing. You either have or haven't learned those things for at least one of three reasons. I'm going to tell you what I think those reasons are. But I hope you also see that God's wisdom in Proverbs is worth your while. In this book, God wants something really good for us, and that's to be wise people. So let me be blunt. I'm making a sales pitch for Proverbs, God's school of wisdom, the art of godly living, and I want you to enroll. The first reason we don't learn things is because the curriculum is poor quality. The curriculum might be poor in quality. Tertiary Education Quality and Standards Agency, TEXA. That's a label you might find at the bottom corner of a university website. That means we're accredited. Accreditation is everywhere. If you're looking for a GP, you might find the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. You're interested in physical training? Well, there's an International Sports Sciences Association PT certification. Just look at the bottom of an email. PhD, CFA, CPA, JD, FACP. These are all ways of saying that certain standards are met and recognized. Those are formal examples, but accreditation can be informal as well. 10 friends said, "You've got to take this painting class. The teacher is so good." That's informal accreditation. And these things are what you're looking for when you want to learn. They make the difference. For doctors, trainers in the gym, cooking classes, even churches, they all have some form of accreditation that makes the difference as to whether or not we sign up. So it should come as good news when Proverbs says it's accredited. Proverbs 1, verse 1. Have a look there. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Why do you think that's there? Tells us the author. Probably. A title, sort of. Attention-grabbing opener, not really. We usually just breeze right over this. We miss it. But the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, tells us that the stuff in this book is accredited. It bears a certificate of quality, of authority. It's validated by Israel's most renowned figure of wisdom, Solomon. He appears elsewhere too. In 1 Kings, we're told that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed all other men. If we go back to the first verse of Proverbs, we see this is pretty important because after that verse, verse 1, the stakes get very high. The book of Proverbs has ambitious goals for its readers: to know wisdom and instruction, to learn righteousness and justice, to give prudence to the simple, to learn how to interpret the puzzling contents of Proverbs itself. I'm just listing off the goals stated in verses 2 to 6. Proverbs wants to make you wise, and that ambition only escalates in the chapters to come. The book is no time for fools. It embraces a tough love attitude towards its students, and it certainly won't water down its advice. Life and death are at stake. The very first chapter of the book ends like this. This one's not on the reading sheet. The simple are killed by their turning away. The complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me, that is the voice of wisdom, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Proverbs wants us on the path to life. It wants us to blossom with wise character and good deeds. It wants to make us people who succeed in God's world, who live well. And its teaching is good for that. It's sponsored by God's chosen king. It's the school book of the Old Testament. You might not like everything it teaches. We don't always want to hear it. But we can't say it's poor quality. The curriculum is good. The second reason we opt out of learning something is because it's unattainable. The curriculum, the quality might be great, but we just don't have what it takes to get there. Melbourne Business School, a full-time MBA, lasts 2 years and costs over $100,000. Le Cordon Bleu in Paris will cost you $50,000 and takes only 9 months of your life. Those are big costs for a lot of people, and I mean time and money. And no matter how much ability you have, no matter how much you'd love to make pastries, no matter how good the teaching is, no matter what the payoff, we've got to face another question. Is it attainable? Cost is one factor. The second factor is, can I do it? Do I have what it takes to learn? Personally, I'd never stop learning languages if I could. Reading, speaking, studying them. But it's not an attainable goal. I just don't have the time and I don't have the mental capacity to do that. Proverbs is going to make demands on its readers. We'll have to examine our desires, question our motivations, avoid compromising situations, be very careful about what we say, how we handle money, and how we treat people. But it's mainly going to demand one thing, and that's that you be teachable. Specifically, that you desire wisdom. If that's your starting point, if that's what you bring to the first day of the class and to the last day, then wisdom is certainly within reach. Have a look further down in chapter 2. It's a chain of if statements. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Search for wisdom like it's hidden treasure. Silver and gold. From 1851 to 1854, for those 3 years, Melbourne's population quadrupled. It went from 30,000 to over 120,000. We're currently growing at about 1 to 2% per year by now, by the way, expecting about 6 million by 2035. Can you imagine even doubling in 5 years? Why'd all these people come to Melbourne in the 1850s? They came for gold. It was the gold rush. It wasn't only that, but that had a lot to do with it. If I said there's a bunch of gold in the Yarra and people are scooping it out right now, we'd all be down at the river panning for gold. If I say there's gold in Proverbs, what then? You'll have to tell me. Are we just supposed to show up for class and want wisdom, to be teachable, and Proverbs will teach you? If that's true, then how do we actually get wisdom? How do we get this gold? Well, we don't get it on our own without God's help. Just have a look at how that passage continues in chapter 2. If you call out for wisdom, if you search for it like treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wisdom belongs to the Lord. It comes from the Lord. It's a gift of God. A few verses later, it says that wisdom will come into your heart. Wisdom is a spiritual gift. If you weren't good in school, that doesn't matter. If you didn't like homework, that's okay. The school of biblical wisdom is foremost a spiritual education. You get wise by knowing God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All that means is that wisdom starts with a right relationship with God. One person put it this way: the fear of the Lord is a gateway to knowledge. Everything that follows in the book is framed in terms of your relationship to God. Only the person who's prepared to recognize the fear of the Lord as the basis for all learning and teaching can be called wise. The Lord promising wonderful Solomonic wisdom. That's what an ancient Israelite would have realized in this book. Fear of God, accredited by the wise King Solomon, the art of godly living. But something has changed. And that's a change that Jesus himself points out. In Matthew, in our second reading, he's arguing with the Pharisees about his authority. You see, they want a sign from Jesus, but they keep rejecting him. And so Jesus says, even the Gentiles came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, he says, something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus says Solomon is a wisdom authority, but I, Jesus, have even greater authority. People came from across the world to hear him, so why won't you listen to me? Some people do listen to Jesus, their teacher. He draws a crowd, he speaks with power, and he imparts wisdom in an unrivaled way. You see, the search for wisdom leads us first to God. And all of God's big blessings are with Jesus Christ. In one of his letters, Paul prays that the Christians would acquire all of God's blessings for them, which, he says, are with Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If he is the God who gives abundantly, and he is, then wisdom is attainable. Wisdom is for those who want it. Proverbs is accredited, and its wisdom is attainable. It's within grasp, so long as you know God. Jesus is going to provide the resources, and of course, we've got to assess that relationship. But there's a third reason that you might not sign up, and that's benefit. What's the benefit of learning wisdom? If you ever teach theology or religious education in a high school, these days you're going to end up having a regular conversation with students and parents. Conversation goes something like this: Jimmy loves this subject. We're so happy he has you as his teacher. He's learned so much, and you know, we're actually religious ourselves. It's really important. But you know, with his chemistry and double maths and computer programming, it's just not going to fit. This is his best chance at getting into his dream university. And as you know, we've got to make choices. He can't study everything. Jimmy drops religious education. He drops theology. That's not a critique. That's life. And if I end up in that same situation, I might very well do exactly what those parents did. What's the benefit of theology for Jimmy? What's the comparative advantage? What's it going to give back to him over the course of his life? Those are the questions we're dealing with. Is it beneficial? In our society, benefit looks like two things: security and success. Security and success. That's not all people look for, but those are big priorities. And a lot of the other stuff, money, satisfaction, relationships, personal development, they all link up with security and your personal definition of success. Those are precisely the benefits that Proverbs puts on offer. After we're told that God is the one who gives wisdom, we hear this: I'm in verse 7 of chapter 2. God is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. Wisdom brings moral security, protection from evil, protection from stupidity. Wisdom works against our own dumb choices. It provides us with the power to avoid evil and take hold of good. You see, foolishness isn't just unadvisable. It's just not a kind of unpreferred way of living. It's actually wrong, and wisdom is actually right. And the acquisition of wisdom, God's gift of wisdom, changes us from the inside out. It means that success in life comes through a transformed character. In fact, that is success according to the Bible. Becoming a person who loves God and lives as he wants in this world. We can just say to become like Christ. That's success. And so disciples sit at the feet of their teacher. Over the course of this month, let's take stock. Take stock of your character, how you navigate the world, your relationships, emotions, appetites, work, reputation. God wants good for you in all of those areas. And the first thing to ask yourself is this: am I open to what the Bible has to say about living, about what I'll call the art of living? Are you ready to learn? Are you ready to learn? Let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks for your gift of wisdom. Let us help us take these things to heart and grow in wise character. In Jesus Christ, amen. Let's sing our final hymn, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun.
Thank you.
thank you again for worshiping with us this morning. Go out this week to love and serve the Lord, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.